County exec, my favorite county exec. It's only one we've got. I didn't say that.
Yes, you did say that. I heard you.
You heard me. Jan Gardner, thank you for coming by, taking time out of your day. And I know, how's the county exec business doing? How's
It's pretty busy. Yes, things are going pretty well. I haven't been on your show for a while. And this new little headgear and microphone that you have is really pretty fancy. I feel like I'm flying a plane. So we're landing here right at the Great Frederick Fair.
Okay.
And so, but things are going pretty well. You know, a few weeks ago, we had our New York City bond rating agencies come to Frederick County, and we were able to give them a tour of the county so they could see what is going on in our beautiful county rather than us going up to New York City where we talk about it, but it's not the same as seeing it. And so the outcome of that was...
Have they ever been here before?
Have they ever been here before? They had been here for a city visit a few years ago, and they've been here probably 20 years ago to tour the county. So, you know, things have changed.
Understandable.
And we did get our AAA bond rating reaffirmed from all three New York City agencies, and we had really nice comments from all of them about how impressed they were with Frederick County. But what does that mean to people?
What's that mean to people?
Well, last Tuesday, we sold bonds. And we had a live bond sale, and we did receive the absolute lowest interest rate in the county's history on our sale of bonds, which was 2.16%. We had an over $12 million bond premium, which means that's $12 million we don't have to pay in interest. And, you know, $12 million is a lot of money. That kind of savings equates to, you know, a fire station and a branch library or a major road or some other kind of project. And we also refinanced debt from 2013 and 2014 to a lower interest rate, and that saved $1.8 million.
When you say that, it's not like we have that money. It's like, I mean, it would be nice to have extra $12 million, and we don't have it. It's the fact that we don't have to pay it.
We don't have to pay it. And so what we do is we buy down our annual bond payment with it. So it's just like you being able to buy down your mortgage rate. Okay, so what that allows us to do is we can afford a certain amount of money, just like you'd afford a certain amount of money a month to buy a car or to buy a house. And now that amount of money is lower. And so if we are going to spend the same amount of money, we can buy more with it. That's really what it means. And so I think that it makes your money go farther. And that saves us money. So if we can, with the same dollar, now buy an extra fire station and an extra branch library without having to come up with any additional money, we are saving that money in effect.
Yeah, I just don't want to give the wrong impression to the taxpayer that you have an extra $13.5 million.
No, that money's not coming in
as a cash payment. Exactly.
Now, I will say the $1.8 million we save on the refinancing, that does come in as cash dollars, and that comes in over a few years, but most of it's front-loaded, so we'll get that over the next 2 or 3 years. And so that's real cash now. So, but I do want people to understand that people say, what's your bond rating? What's the low interest rate? What does it mean? And so, you know, I'm really proud that we were able to get this low interest rate. I thought we got a really low interest rate in 2016. But, you know, some of our surrounding counties sold bonds in the spring or in the early part of the summer and had higher interest rates than this. So it really is a big accomplishment. I thought it was big news. I think WFMD did cover it, but the Frederick News Post didn't. So I wanted to make sure I talked about that.
What about, now, Jan, this is the questions that I have that I'm storing up for you. For example, you gave a 7.9% raise to the firefighters. How much did that cost?
Well, that is worth over $2 million, okay, over an annualized basis. And I decided to provide a salary improvement to firefighters because I had a need to retain and recruit firefighters. And unlike a lot of other jobs, when someone's not working on the floor, they're not filled in. So if some people go on vacation, nobody does their job for a week. That job's vacant for a few months. Nobody does their job. But for a firefighter, we fill that position, and we fill it with somebody that we're paying overtime. So to be able to hire and recruit and retain employees will actually save us less money in overtime than the value of this raise. So we felt like we were going to spend this money one way or the other.
The question I have, I think you're being sold a bill of goods, and I understand. First of all, there's hundreds of people would love to be firefighters in Frederick County. Hundreds, mm-hmm. not dozens, or, and I mean qualified people. Mm-hmm. So don't be sold to this idea that we can't get firefighters and that all our firefighters are going elsewhere. That's bull. That's 100% bull. And I think if they put you under that feeling, like, oh my gosh, if I don't do more for them, they're going to leave us. No, it's not going to happen.
Well, you know, we try to address this issue, whether it's in law enforcement, whether mm-hmm. it's in with teachers in our schools, wherever it is,
doctors,
to make sure that we can recruit and retain people. So
sure.
we do have lots of people apply when we have mm-hmm. openings. But right now, in mm-hmm. particular, we have all of our surrounding counties looking to hire.
Sure.
We have people doing lateral moves.
Mm-hmm.
We have firefighters will drive a distance to work because
sure.
of the way they, because of the shift work they have. So we know that we have people who have left. I mean, I actually know what the statistics are.
Well, sure.
And I know who may be looking to leave with these
people,
lateral opportunities.
And I'm looking at people who love to come in here. And
we'd love to hire them.
Well,
okay, so,
you
know, we know that Washington County is now looking to go to paid firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Hagerstown has them, and they have applied for a SAFER grant, as we have, to add more firefighters, and that Carroll County is now looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So Washington County's put together a plan to actually raise taxes over a series
mm-hmm.
of years so that they can hire more firefighters, because we do see a declining number of volunteers.
Certainly.
And certainly the volunteers over time have saved us millions of dollars.
They
continue to save
yeah.
us millions of dollars. Not only do they answer calls, but they certainly own our fire stations. They buy a lot of our vehicles and equipment. And so, but I do think I have a responsibility to make sure that there are people there answering the calls. And that's what I'm trying to do.
I just think
without paying an exorbitant amount of overtime.
Well, I think the overtime is a false narrative, because the overtime could be settled by simply having a qualified volunteer fill in, like we used to do in the city. When the fireman paid man was off, or paid woman was off, volunteer fell in. Obviously, same qualifications, but I don't see you happening in Frederick County. And I think I think you're being pushed around. I don't like that.
Well, I think that I have statistics that prove that there was a need for that, but
there is a need.
If
right.
there wasn't a need for it, I wouldn't have done that. And I will say, the idea of paying volunteers a stipend has been tried. I mean, Walkersville tried it.
No, I don't mean a stipend. I mean, we actually got paid. I would go in for a 24-hour shift, and it was actually paid to be the fireman that day as a volunteer.
Okay, well, then you're not a volunteer anymore. If you're getting paid, that point.
Well, that's right. You weren't that day. That day, you were a paid person. The next day, after I got off of work at 8 in the morning or 7 in the morning, I went back to being a volunteer. And it worked wonderfully for the city of Frederick for years. We didn't have to hire hundreds of people to run the fire stations. So it's just a practical thing that I think that you're just going to be pushed by the union, because it's a great plan.
Well, I made this decision with information that I had
mm-hmm.
From the management side.
This of was what? Management side of what?
Of the county, uh-huh. the management side of the fire service,
mm-hmm.
and by looking at the amount of overtime that we were spending
and
the number of holdovers that we had each and every day. And,
right.
of course, that needed to be addressed.
Without question.
So we do have career firefighters in pretty much all of our county. They're all
mm-hmm.
they're covering ambulance service
sure.
pretty much everywhere, which is the majority of the calls. Some people
80%.
Think it's 75% to 85%, depending
yeah.
on who you talk to. But that's
so we pick 80 in the
correct.
Middle, right?
Yeah, it's basically correct.
And we're going to take a short break. Jan, I don't want you to think that I'm attacking you on this. I'm trying to bring you some information I don't think that you have. Get with it, Jan. It's music. It's Frank playing. Yeah, you got it. That's my area. What's that, about 1993? I think it's... Stop it. Good afternoon,
everybody. Is that your era, 1993? I thought you went back to, like, the 1970s, like me.
Oh, you're old, my God.
I am old.
I go back to this.
I tell my kids that all the time. Of course, they tell me that, too.
How about the late 50s, early 60s? Yeah, you have a long way to catch up, but you're
I was born in the 50s, but so I don't really have a lot of memories of the 50s.
I was born in the 40s, so I don't remember anything. Frank Mitchell, he wasn't born, but we're back with you. The Cali exec, Jan Garner, I'm appreciative she's here. I'm trying to nail down to get her on a regular basis. She said, that's what you think. Anyhow, 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. Frank, you may interrupt me anytime you want if you have a call or a text that
We have gotten a number of texts, and let me give you the unfiltered questions as they come in.
Okay.
The unfiltered questions?
Yes.
Oh, does that mean you need to filter them, for Frank?
That means, Madam Exec, take a deep breath before I... why does the county feel they can enter people's homes without a court order or permission from the residents under the guise of investigating water violations? County officials had stated... that on the radio last week. That's from Fred. I'm not sure what he's referring to, but maybe you do.
Okay, what he's referring to is something called an illicit discharge permit requirement. That is a requirement of our state stormwater permit. And they require us to pass a local law that allows us to enter someone's property if there is a spill or contamination that's like a hazmat, or that is something that needs to be addressed immediately. And so that is what this law is about, and we are mandated by the state to pass a local ordinance that provides the framework of that. So, you know, the county is not entering people's homes without permission. We really would always try to get people's permission. But if somebody wasn't home and there was some kind of a reason for that was legitimate, that there was some kind of hazardous waste coming out of that facility or whatever it is, we would have the right to go in and stop something that would be hazardous to public health or dangerous to the community. That's it.
That makes sense. And I think it would probably come down through the health department when you talk about those type of situations where something's going into the wastewater or going into the whatever situation.
Yeah. So, and again, the reason that law is before the county council is because we're mandated to have the policy, the law, as part of our stormwater permit, which is also mandated by the state as a requirement of the Federal Clean Water Act. So, I appreciate the controversy with that. We do respect people's property rights, and we generally do not enter anybody's property without permission.
Okay. Frank, you want to do some more?
Oh,
I see him. I don't want to read him.
It's
go ahead.
Been a while. I've got a lot of questions for the county exec.
What about the messages? How about the one that – here's one for you. The county exec is using our tax dollars to suck up the unions for her governor's run. Oh, you're running for
governor?
Well,
see, that's why I wasn't passing along.
Wait a minute. I need to congratulate you first. If you're running for governor, you need a press secretary or anything, I'm available.
You're available? Yeah. Okay, that's an interesting rumor. I'll be curious to hear
I've heard it before.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I will just say that I'm not interested in running for governor, but I feel complimented that somebody thinks I am going to run for governor.
I heard that Barbara Mikulski is going to be on your team and help you get elected to governor.
Oh, you heard that?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm all for this, Jan.
You want me to be the governor?
Why not?
Because
who else? What choice have?
Well, I think it's a little early to know what the choices are going to be. But
so you're not denying it today that you're not running for governor?
I'm not running for governor. I'll be happy to tell you that. I'm not planning to run
okay,
for governor.
Okay, Frank. All right.
And so I do have people ask me that from time to time.
Sure.
But, you know, I will be termed out as county executive, so I will not be running for county executive again. And it is my plan to retire. I now have one grandson who is cuter than can be, and I'm expecting another grandson on Thanksgiving. And so I am looking forward to having grandchild number two. And I suspect over the next few years, my adult children who are married will add a few more children to the mix.
So
I think that'll be fun.
We're having turkey, and you're having a grandchild for Thanksgiving. God
bless
you.
His due date is Thanksgiving.
We're not
going to have the child for Thanksgiving. If he's born that day, we might not be joining our turkey till another day.
Amen. So,
But I'll be joyous that day. As long as we have a healthy baby, I am fine.
Too young to retire. You know that. But anyhow, 301-694-9363. Frank, I'm going to give you an opportunity now. I don't like to, but I'm going to. Would you like to say something?
We got to take a news break here in a little bit.
Well, we don't have to yet. We got some time. Anything you want to think about?
No, I do. And that is Livable Frederick. You hosted a ceremony last week. For the official signing.
Was it open to the public?
Yes.
Of the Livable Frederick resolution. And I'd like you to help explain Livable Frederick, because it is pretty thick Livable. As far as its contents. And I think a lot of people still are having problems getting their arms around it and what we can expect now that it's been officially signed.
Okay. Well, Livable Frederick is.
Well, let's take a news break. You're going to need a few minutes for that one.
All right, thank you.
How's everybody out in Spring Ridge?
Good, as far as I know.
Well, tell them to wake up. We're on the radio. Free Talk Radio, 930 WFMD. Come on.
Now, back to Tim and Frank on 930 WFMD.
That's music, isn't it, Frank? Hey, Frank.
That's me.
I'm just wondering if you're... the county exec had to leave, but she left her purse in... Oh, that is the county exec is here.
I haven't left, and I'm not leaving my purse here with you.
I will hold it for you. Let's see. What's the...
Tim.
I know you've...
Livable Frederick, we're going to go to.
A lot of your friends have told you what I said about Livable Frederick, and I'll be nice, but tell me what you think. Tell us about Livable Frederick.
I'm not sure what your friends have told me about you, because...
Not about me, about Livable Frederick, but go ahead.
Okay. Livable Frederick is a new and innovative kind of master plan. So it will serve as our comprehensive plan, and we've always had a comprehensive land use plan. And that comprehensive land use plan has two parts. It has a text part, and it has maps. We did not update any of the maps or get any to zoning applications. So we did this a bit differently, and it has become a model for the state for how to do good planning. And we spent about a year creating a shared community vision, and the planning staff and a steering committee went out around the county and met with people to talk about what they want the county to be like in the year 2040, out into the future. And we had thousands of people participate. We had we did a survey that we mailed out to people. We did an online survey, and we had over 15,000 individual comments that we incorporated into the plan and into that vision. So then we had to take that vision, and that would provide a framework for the future, and we looked at what elements we would need. And so we had about 100 people on work groups that helped to write the plan. And so the plan really looks at 30,000 feet up, what the county should be like. So it's really a policy-driven plan. It has a thematic map that talks about, where the growth areas should be. We have a green map for green infrastructure. We have priority preservation areas for preservation areas. And we also, for the first time, put things into the plan that are a bit unique. We wrapped in some environmental aspects, health, because we do think how we grow also can affect our health. And the framework sets out a variety of policy initiatives and goals, and all of our comprehensive plans have done that. Now, the plan is pretty easy to read. It is 200 pages long, but it's pretty easy to read. And you can find it at livablefrederick.org. And it's really a beautiful plan. It really talks about the statistics of the county, and it talks about where we want to be and what kinds of things we may need to do to get there. So it will be a live document, so we're going to implement it in about three different ways. The first is we have an implementation plan on the land use side, and that will look at small area plans and corridor plans. So the first area we plan to look at is the Maryland 85-355 corridor, which is our business area. So we will look at how we can take that area and revitalize it, revive it, redevelop it for the future, because we know there's less demand for retail space. We have empty office space. What should we do with that? Should we mix residential into it or not? Should we expand that area? So that's the first area. And so we will engage all the property owners, all the stakeholders, interested citizens in that plan. The second one we're doing is, which we'll do concurrently, is to look at how we protect Sugarloaf Mountain and that environmental features of that area. And so that's the land use component. Some of the goals and initiatives will be wrapped into the strategic plan that our division directors will implement. And so we've already done that and presented that strategic plan in public. And then the third way is we will have some community organizations and nonprofits implement some of the goals and initiatives that are in the plan. So it will really be a community plan. It was really done by a team of people, and I think it is innovative and good way to plan for the future. Certainly growth is always a hot topic in Frederick County, and I think if you can get out, remove some of the specific zoning decisions and concerns people have about that specific zoning decisions and look at it in a more broad policy perspective, it allows you to do better planning. So that's what it's all about.
Well, it sounds wonderful. I hope we're all able to live long enough for this to be implemented in real life, because it's not going to be. Because we've gone back to look at forward to 40 years or 25 years, you have to go back and look 25 to the past to see what was produced then. What were going to have? It wasn't that they didn't have these plans. It didn't that they didn't call it livable Frederick, but they had it. The map. This is what Frederick County is going to look at like in 2000. This is what it's going to look like in 1995, and none of that came true because, as you'll find out, this is a wonderful idea. I won't take that away from anyone, but the practicality is non-existent because we're guided by finances. We're mm-hmm. guided by other events that we have no control over. So when we say in 2040 we're going to do this and do that, it's wonderful. If it makes someone feel happy, I'm all for it. But I've never seen any of these plans, because I'm old, the 25-year plan, the 20-year plan, even the 10-year plans don't work out. So I think we're being a little...
Well,
I think we're being pollyannic on this.
I think if you don't do planning, mm-hmm. then things just happen haphazardly. So I think there are benefits to having plans, and I think the plans have not always been followed in the past.
Right.
And I think the plans you can't predict the future perfectly.
Well, they're not.
You can't predict the changes in technology.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that, for instance, people want to protect our agricultural heritage, mm-hmm. so we look at advancing our preservation programs to target certain areas, so we have blocks of agriculture. That's been successful for the most part,
sure.
And we will continue to build on that.
Mm-hmm.
We're also looking at creating some rural preservation efforts so that we can preserve our covered bridges and some of our other historic features that are in rural areas. They're not all in the city of Frederick, and we know that people in Frederick County love their history.
Sure.
And I think that we can protect some of the environmental features in our community, like Sugarloaf Mountain. I think people would not want to see 10,000 houses covering Sugarloaf Mountain into the future. So I do think this plan identifies no new growth areas. It's really about using those areas that have already been defined by past decisions,
mm-hmm.
and using them as best we can, retrofitting some of them so that they continue to be great places to live. So you've seen various areas of the county change over time.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that we don't just go out into greenfields and continue to build, but that we take what we already have and use it to its maximum ability. And again, people will want to live and work completely differently. We might have autonomous cars in the future, self-driving cars. You know, it's hard for me to imagine how all of that will work, but we know it is coming.
Well,
and we're going to have technology do things that we can't even imagine. I mean,
right.
I never thought I'd be, you know, reading the paper on my phone and video
right.
chatting people and FaceTiming people, but those are all good things. And that's changed how people live, and that's changed how people work. And the plan isn't meant to say that we
this
are
is what it's gonna
just
going like
to see in the future.
Now.
It's going to get us to try to think about how we want to live, how we want to work, how we want to recreate into the future, and how we want to protect the things we love about Frederick County. You know, most of my complaints are, there's too much housing.
Yeah.
We don't want to approve any more housing.
Except the people that want to come up here and buy
that, that's
a
right.
house. Yeah.
And that we certainly haven't addressed the traffic issues
nope.
successfully. And we still have school overcrowding that we need to address. So
correct.
There are reasons for us to do better planning and to try to certainly do better than we have in the past.
Well, since we didn't address the housing, you know, the new housing, what have you done to address the traffic and everything?
Well, the interesting thing in Livable Frederick is that we were able to use computer modeling that we couldn't use in the past because it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at if we continued to grow what I'll call the suburban model by just continuing to expand out of the city of Frederick
right.
and other municipalities, What would that do to our transportation system? What if we did city-centric and built up in our municipalities instead of out? And what would happen if we actually tried to plan our growth around our traffic corridors? And so then we took the best outcomes of all that modeling to try to look at how we could best do transportation planning. But without a doubt, we need to have more roads, and without a doubt, we need to have more transit, and we really need to do both.
What about East Elko?
East Elko has always been a defined as a growth area because it's been zoned, and it's been zoned for general industrial since probably 1960 or somewhere around there. And so East Elko owns all that property. They own about 2,000 acres, maybe 2,200 acres. And so there's interest in what should that be. So there was a symbol on the thematic plan about that being a
city
defined as a new town, using the rail line through that as a transit option. We got a lot of feedback and concern about people saying that would be thousands of houses, but there's no plan, or never was a plan, for thousands of houses there. So after we do some of those corridor area plans I talked about earlier, we'll go down and put together a citizens group, and we'll put together a group, and we'll do a small area plan for that. So it could be our next life science park.
It could be
a transit corridor. It could be agriculture. It could be a lot of things.
Could be another Urbana.
And, well, it could be.
Yes.
But there are a lot of things that, but we'll engage the public and decide what the community wants that to be.
Well, do you think the public actually has control? I mean, I'm sure the people didn't want to see Urbana be what it is. They didn't want to see Monrovia Town Center. They don't want.
So, well, Monrovia Town Center isn't happening because it went to court and was vacated.
Yet.
So that's done.
Yeah.
The higher courts opined on it. It's gone. Now, there's still one level of court they could appeal that to. But, you know, the hard thing about it is that Urbana was zoned back in probably the 70s. Lake Linganore was zoned back in the late 60s.
Right.
And Linganore was so big that multiple developers went bankrupt over time because they couldn't afford the infrastructure improvements.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about water and sewer.
I understand.
And nobody could bring water and sewer to Urbana until the 90s. And so those were approved so long ago that the people aren't around anymore that approved that. And so what we are trying to do is take that land that's zoned and try to make it fit what we see the demographics going to be in the future.
Okay. We'll take it. Good afternoon. Welcome into the best day of your life. We're happy and honored to be at the Great Frederick Fair, the 157th annual Great Frederick Fair. County Exec Jan Gardner is sharing the afternoon with us, and she'll be with us till 5. And if you wish to call or ask a question, this is the time to do it. It would be easier for you to go ahead and text us at the 301-694-9363. And that way, we make sure your question gets answered. Frank, what do you have for me? Bill, you're live with the county exec.
Jan Gardner, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you?
I'm just going to ask you a question. I'm not going to take time from everybody else. I just want to ask you a question. Do you still see people in your office?
Yes.
Okay, and how much of an advance does someone have to give you to get an appointment?
Well, I occasionally see somebody on an emergency basis, but I'm sure that Lori Fulmer is scheduling out 4 to 6 weeks. So I actually have a county of 255,000 people, and there are a lot of people who want to come in and say something to me. So we do try to get people who need an appointment, maybe a meeting with somebody on staff who can actually answer a question if they have some particular issue. Because believe it or not, people think that I know everything all 2,000 county employees are doing and everything that's happening in the county, and I actually... you know, a lot of times people bring a concern to me that I've never heard about before. We go look into it, but it's better sometimes if DPW or somebody else, whoever is appropriate, meets with that person.
No, this has to be with you. So I have to wait a month to see the county executive. Is that what you're telling me?
That's, unless you have an emergency, yes. That's pretty much the way it is because my schedule is jammed.
Okay, Bill, you got your question answered there. And if you... your phone number in the county, if they want to make an appointment, is
301-600-3190. So that is the county phone number.
And I appreciate that. And if people want to see you, unless it's a, like an emergency situation, I'm sure you would. But you know what? I don't know what the problem was or the question, but I'm thinking that you're kind of available. I mean, it's not like you hide.
Well, I'm out and about.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And
you're at the Great Frederick Fair.
I am at the Great Frederick Fair right now. I'll be here most days this week, to be honest with you, at least for some period of time. You know, and I certainly try to be out in the community all the time. I get invited to events, multiple events virtually every day in all corners of the county. And so I go to some of them. I obviously can't go to them.
No.
Sometimes people get upset when I don't come to an event.
Well,
and
I always cover
if I have three in one night, I'd rather go to one instead of just showing up for 5 minutes at each one.
County executive, I always cover you. Said she chose not to be here tonight.
You always cover me? Yeah. Oh, that scares me. Don't tell me that.
I said she chose not to be here tonight.
And, you know, and I keep track sometimes of events that always happen the same time of year. So, you know, Fire Company Bank is one of them. Sometimes on a Saturday night, there's three of them.
Exactly.
And I'll go to one this year, and I'll go to a different one the next year, and I'll go to a different one the next year. And occasionally, I actually have to do something for my own family.
That's enough of that.
You know.
We're not paying you to have a family. 301-694. I'm joking, Jan.
My husband's getting ready to run a 50K.
Why?
And so, he's a runner and he wants to do a 50K. So,
how far is 50K?
31 miles.
Three?
31 miles.
I get tired driving that.
So he's he's run a couple marathons, which is 26 miles. So, I think he's a little over the edge there with doing that. But he does do it, and that's what he loves to do. So occasionally I go to watch him do something.
It's kind of nice. See your grandkids or whatever.
See the grandkids. I've had kids get married. I've had to take off for some of these things. And sometimes people are surprised that I do those things.
How many hours a week does the county expected to put in?
Margaret's looking at me.
80?
I would say 80 is a good number. Yeah. My average weekday is 12 to 14 hours every day of the week. And I, as much as we try to make it less than that, it seems to never be less than that. And then, you know, we get a lot of events on weekends.
Yeah.
And so we
have. And they expect you there.
And we have to go to those. And so, and I try to go to them around the county. So, you know, we've got the fair. We've got Brunswick Railroad Days coming up. We've got the National Fallen Firefighters coming, Color Fest. I mean, there's just events all over. Oh, Middletown Heritage Days I'll go to. So I think that day I have four or five events on that Saturday. So with that, it is almost time for me to leave.
Time.
You got another question for me?
Frank, anything else you'd like to say?
Three minutes and so many questions. I think we have time for one more from Marty. Hi, Marty.
Marty, you're talking to the county exec.
Hey, Jan, how are you?
Good, Marty. How are you?
Good. I hope you're enjoying that grandbaby, but probably not enough.
Not enough.
Hey, I got a question. Does the county have a program where they would defer the payment of impact fees until the time of occupancy when the impact would actually take place? Do you know of any program that you guys have like that?
We don't have a program like that at the moment, but we do have, for affordable housing, we waive the impact fee. And if that housing converts back into market rate housing, we recapture it. But we are talking about a variety of ways to try to offer some flexibility on impact fees for a variety of reasons. And you're going to hear me talk more about that in the future. But, you know, if somebody pays less and somebody has to pay more, and that's where the problem comes in. Everybody wants to pay less, no one wants to pay more.
Sure.
Right. The reason I ask is we're going to discuss it at a town meeting, I think tomorrow, and I said, hey, does the county have anything like that? And I was just curious if you guys had anything like that.
We have a 10-year payment plan and a deferral on water and sewer fees, but not on impact fees.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You getting their feedback a little bit. Frank, anybody else?
Not that we really have time for.
Do you think there'll be a time? I'm talking. Do you think there'll have a time when there'll be a transfer fee from housing?
No.
You don't think so?
No. Some people have talked about adding a transfer tax. And we have a recordation fee, which is similar but different. But I think that we would have to get authority from the state for that, and I just don't see our delegation ever providing that, a new taxing authority to the county. So I would say no. So I think we have to use the tools that we have to do what we need to do, and we have some flexibility, and sometimes that makes us go around in a circle in a little bit of a weird way. But I don't think you're going to see any new taxes.
Well, we're going to schedule our county exec come into the studio in a couple weeks, and we'll also see you on Wednesday. Peter Francho will be out, I hope.
Yep.
And county exec, thank you for taking time out of your day. You're going down and dip ice cream.
I am. I always love to do that.
Oh, you're the big dipper? But anyhow, we'll be right back.
News Radio 930.